This is how we do it.
This is how we do it.
La 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 la. La 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 la.
This is how we do it.
I'm happy to be here right now. You know, it's been 51 weeks since this whole disaster started, and I think we're finally round the corner here with the COVID. I know Flemington, it felt like a normal week last week for the first time. I know most of the office's numbers are coming back, so that's a good thing. So I'm happy to have everyone here, and I guess I should, you know, get all the mushy stuff out of the way, which is, listen, it was a crazy year, and we hung in there. We stayed open. We pivoted to the telehealths. We couldn't have done it without everyone just buying in and sticking together. And everyone grabbed an oar and just started rowing at one point, and we got through it. So I just want to thank everyone personally, because it was amazing. I mean, honestly, it was life-changing for me, you know, dealing with some of the stuff in the background. But to know that so many people were just working so hard and so dedicated, and it was an amazing display of teamwork. And it's not cliche. I mean, it was real. Like, everyone I talked to during that whole thing was just like, let's go, encouraging everyone, and just kept fighting. It was a fight. It was a battle. And I think we came out on the other side victorious. So I just want to thank everyone. So we don't want to drag this out. We got a couple things that Adrian wants to talk about. We have a couple things I want to talk about. Some billing changes that we're going to make. We'll get to that later. The first thing I want to talk about is this. Look, we have 10 offices right now, and I think each of our offices has a great feel, like a mom and pop hometown feel. And I think it's so important that we have that. And we have that. But we also have some strength in numbers. And so we're starting to see right now the way the industry is going. Years ago, it was going big hospital systems. Now it's going like big corporate, private equity. You know, small places are getting swallowed up. And I talked about this 2 years ago here at this meeting. I think I mentioned it every meeting, which is to have a little size in your company definitely helps you survive. And so, look, will we add a couple offices down the road? We might. Coming off of last year, we're certainly going to continue to be conservative how we grow. But I think having 10 and adding a couple offices down the road would help us, would help all of us, and to kind of survive. There's a whole reason why a little bit of size helps. I don't need to get into that, but nonetheless, we have 10. We have 10 mom and pops at their hometown, but we have the strength in, really, I think, our central command, our billing team. We have everything centralized, and we're really running smoothly. So we're in a good position right now. And I say this all the time. I make no bones about it. I mean, I got a call during COVID. I got a call from Ivy Rehab. I got a call from Excel. My guy drove all the way out to Flemington. And he said, we'll meet for a cup of coffee. You know, I was like, don't waste your time. He's like, I'm coming anyway. We talked. I said, thanks for the coffee. And that was it. We're not going anywhere. We're going to sit in and dig in and fight these guys, because that's really what it is. It's us against them. And, you know, everyone's trying to steal market share and survive and do their thing. So being the PT owned, being the mom and pop at each town, they really can't compete with us. So they'd rather buy you. And so I'd rather just beat them. So I think everyone feels the same way. With that said, I think the first thing I want to talk about is, you know, I was talking to Tom a couple of weeks ago, and he was saying, he's like, you know, ProCare is getting a little bigger, and we have some turnover, and some of the newer people, they don't even know anything about ProCare, you know, how it started. They don't know. They may not necessarily know the culture of ProCare. I know Pete and Dean and I have talked about this too. It's like you bring some new people come in and you know, they just think the phones ring. They don't know the history, you know? I mean, I could look around the room, and I don't want to leave anyone out, but like, for example, Michelle, she's been over there in Hazlet with Pete for so long. I mean, it's a long time now. I think she started when she was 15. She was working for Health South, and Pete was in Hazlet. And I just remember a lot of Health South patients ended up in Hazlet, but nonetheless, with a pager, yeah, crazy. And so people don't realize that. So now the phones ring in Hazlet. So you hire a young therapist, they come in and they just think the phones ring. And so you know, I have an expression I use, and I think I used it to Tom, and he's like, I was like, Tom, new patients don't grow on trees. You know, it's like, they don't just appear. The phone doesn't ring. It's important that everyone understands the history and how hard it is to get that one person in the door. And I can tell you right now, I'm sure everyone, every director in here that has grinded their way to build that clinic, and everyone in here has, they have listened to a nighttime office person that we hired, like on, you know, a quickity, like, hey, work 4 hours on Friday night, you know, and listen to them handle a phone call, like, and cringing in the background, you know? And it's like, you know, Mike's like shaking his head. It's like, oh yeah, you're interested in coming here? Well, let us know. We're always here. Goodbye. Click. And we're like, why, you know, that you just hung up. You don't hang up. Get that patient in, you know? And so I think that's the first thing I want to talk about is, with Tom's help, Pete and Dean are going to contribute. We decided that we were going to make, we call them podcasts. They're not going to be online for everyone to listen to, but we decided we were going to do some recordings of some of the phone conversations we've had with the directors, because you can't have them with everybody. And so we were like I was talking to Tom the other day. He's like, damn, I wish we would have recorded that conversation and played it to everybody. I'm like, yeah, it's a good idea. So that's what we're going to do. So we're just going to make a series of things. And I think we're going to make two sets of them. One is going to be for like the leadership people in the leadership positions, the directors, some of the office manager types. And then we'll have one for everybody. And let's just talk about stuff. Like, how do we handle a snow day? Here's what we do, and here's why we do it. You know, they could be 3-minute podcasts. I don't care. But like, if a new person, some marketing stuff, Tom wants to contribute. So we hire a new therapist. Tom's like, hey, could you go online and listen to episode 4, 5, and 6? And then I'll talk to you in a week. It's just a good way to, you know, get information out on how we do things. It really, I think we got to spend a little more time and making sure our culture maintains, you know, and I think this might be a good way to do it. If it doesn't work, we could always delete them. I actually made a few. They're all right. You know, at first it was a little shaky. Pete made a few. They weren't real good. Mine were better than Pete's, but I think you guys are going to like them. I think they're kind of fun. I think they're interesting. And so that's what we're going to do. I think as we grow, or, you know, I think we just need to maintain our culture. And I think this might be a good way to do that. So we're going to give it a shot. So that's the first thing I wanted to talk about. There's a few things we got to cover today. I'm going to hand it over to Adrian. She wants to go over a few nitty gritty things. We like to get that stuff out of the way because it's painful. And Adrian does a great job presenting it, but nonetheless, let's get through the nitty gritty. All right, Age, come on up.
So a couple of things that I hope are going to make life easier for the front desk. All right. So this is my record. No HIPAA violations here. No, you're doing great. Okay. So why are you making fun of me? That's not right. Okay. So, in the past, when there was a professional courtesy or a patient hardship, which let's say it's a complete write-off, or you had a patient that came in with a $50 copay, you decide you're not going to take 50, you're going to do 30. We had you put certain codes in this external ID box, PC or PH. We would then have you task Eric, and Eric would write them off so that when statements went out, they were correct. So sometimes things fell through the cracks. So we came up with what we hope is an easier way and a more efficient way to Eric and Vidya to handle this. So this little card I gave you has 4 different codes on it, depending on what you're trying to do. And I'm going to ask that you do what I asked you to do when we did telehealth. Do you remember when you had to do a case record in telehealth? And I said, please, it has to be TELE-body part, no space before, no space in between. And you guys did great. And the reason I asked you to do that is because we're going to run a report on codes so that Eric and Vidya can run that report. They know exactly what to write off. Now, some offices tried to be helpful, and instead of doing professional courtesy here, they would write out professional courtesy, Dr. Jones's mother, do not bill, a whole history. The problem is when you try to run a report and everybody's writing something different, it is impossible and they're pulling their hair out. So we came up with a solution, which is, these codes, DNB-PC, DNB-PH, as is on this card, six or seven characters are going in address line two if it's a complete write-off right here. Okay. If it's a discount, like we're going to discount the copay, you're doing DISC-PCPH on address line two. You no longer have to task Eric. He's going to run a report and he'll have NVIDIA and they will run a report to get all of those things accounted for you. But I do have to once again reinforce when I say six or seven digits, I mean six or seven digits exactly here as it's bolded. Hang this up at your desk. No more external ID box, no more tasks. If you were putting it in the notes section, wherever you were putting it before is fine. You still do have to do that because when they get the report, they're going to look in there and find the amount. So thank you for bringing that up. You could put it there too. Wherever you guys are comfortable putting it is fine. We'll look here or we'll look there. Okay. Key is consistency here so they can run a report. Okay.
Okay.
Next. Thank you. Okay. So Pete designed a process for the purpose of MIPS, which we've trialed now in Hazlitt and we've trialed it in Flemington and the therapists and everybody, the front desk seems to like it. So this really isn't MIPS related in so much as it is we've eliminated two forms and we put a nice convenient box here for you to score, put your scores in. So let me explain this. This is an example. This is the LEFS form. I retyped all the body part forms. And instead of now having a separate pain scale, the pain scale is on the bottom of every body part form. And in the upper left-hand corner, depending, there's a box for you to put your pain scale, your BMI, your LEFS, and then there's a MIPS ready box. Would you like to describe what MIPS ready is?
So the MIPS ready box is basically to help us know that the therapist feels that the number is good. It's time to input it into the MIPS database and you're done with that patient.
Okay. So you're all going to get new forms, new body part forms that are going to have a pain scale on the bottom and this nice box in the corner. Okay. The other form that we changed was the medical history form, but there is just a box up here so that you can put all of your scores here. Now, do you want to say why we have that? On the medical history form?
It's a pain in the neck to try to find all the scores all over the paperwork. So just having it in one spot, it's easy for the person who's writing out the MIPS forms. This is the numbers. Therapist puts your BMI, everything in there, so you don't have to flip pages and find it. So it's just convenient for the person at the desk, truly.
Now, the reason we got rid of the BMI form was because some offices said that they just used their phone to get the number. In Flemington, they wanted a color chart, so I printed out color BMI charts. We laminated them, and the therapists each have them at their station. So the bottom line is we've eliminated paperwork, the pain scale and the BMI, and now you have a nice way to score everything so it's not all over the place. So I am going to be emailing these forms to you guys at some point before Monday, okay? Any questions about this? Yes.
We're filling out the upper left box there and the upper left box there.
Yes. Pete, do you have anything to say?
Pete designed it.
Pete designed it.
No.
It's only on the eval, right?
You good?
Yep.
So this usually is, this page would be, I guess this is more like for the second, truly. This is more for the second one. This is your initial eval. You'll have it all on here.
Right. Yes. Yeah. This change is strictly for those patients who you want to completely write off because of professional courtesy, patient hardship, or you're discounting a copay, professional courtesy, patient hardship. And if you've forgotten what those two things are, professional courtesy is family member, doctor, that kind of stuff. Patient hardship is your clinical director has determined, you know, this patient is a really good patient. They're going through hard times. We want to discount the copay. But they're the ones who have to approve that. Okay. Anybody else? Okay. If when you get these, you have any questions, you know where I am. So just feel free to ask. Thank you.
Hello, everybody. So I wanted to address first the COVID situation has definitely made marketing way different than it was last year. We obviously all knew that was going to happen, but I don't think I quite realized the ins and the outs of the other, you know, physician and medical practices and their guidelines. It's obviously varies from what ProCares are. So going into it, I was kind of blind into what each practice was going to require me to do as far as, you know, calling from the parking lot. So now I'm screened. Before, I would just, you know, finesse my way in there and use the marketing aspect to try and find my way into the office manager's front desk or in front of the physician. So now that I have to call ahead, it's really limited my ability to get even close to the doctor. You know, the front desk is still super attainable. The office manager, a little less attainable. Doctor, pretty much non-existent now, which is totally understandable. But with that being said, I think we need to kind of readdress how we're attacking these bigger clinics who have these, you know, COVID barriers inside built into their practice. So now they have this built-in excuse to pitch to me every time I walk in and I can't really fight it. Before, it's, you know, persistence is key. You know, all the clinic directors know that. Pete Dean and Steve have always preached that. But the persistence now is kind of, you know, negligence to find a new way to get in there. And that's kind of the reality that we're facing. So with that being said, I've noticed a lot of medical practices now are pitching this Zoom call, which sounds like pulling teeth. I mentioned it to Brian Lair this morning, and I know how Brian does with technology. Like, I think he just shut me out right away. So I kind of had to spell it out like step by step here. And I do agree. I do think this Zoom call thing is pulling teeth, like going, having that 30-minute window where you try and scarf down lunch while still writing 5 notes that you're backed up on sounds miserable, but it's a necessary evil. Just like the lunches were before when we were setting them up. You know, you guys, I know some of you love doing the lunches and that's great, but the reality is lunches aren't really what your job entailed when you signed up to be a physical therapist. It's something that you kind of had to learn to do. I am making direct eye contact with Mike right now. So that being said, this Zoom call thing, at first I was super sour on the whole idea. I thought that the physician would think that this is the biggest pain in the ass. I don't want to bother, you know, my staff with having to set me up on this Zoom call for a half hour in the middle of my day. However, I think I've come up with this new system of kind of how to spin this to make it beneficial for the physician and trying to get us in with the, instead of doing these lunches, replacing it with a Zoom call that can be more beneficial for all of ProCare, not just that one clinic director that's going into this lunch. So the angle that we're trying to approach here is helping the physician out just as much as we're trying to help ourselves. So my sale angle now is, for example, with Brian this morning, I was talking about Dr. Crusoe, who's a new spine guy in the area here in Hunterdon County. So he joined this big practice that we have ins in with other physicians. However, the ins have been developed over time, so I don't really have that much of a connection there, nor does any marketing person, because they're so established. So using the PTs in, because they'll listen to whatever you guys have to say, they're kind of obligated to. Whereas for me, it's, you know, get this guy out of my face. So approaching that physician saying something along the lines of, you know, I'd love to have you educate our therapists and our staff of what you are accomplishing in your practice, whether it's surgeries, injections, you know, whatever it might be, vestibular, and say, like, what do you guys like to see from PT? What do you not like to see from PT? This way, when you're selling this lunch, this Zoom call, it's to benefit them. And you say, we would love to send you some patients. We've heard great things about you. We would love to refer to you and have referrals from you and take care of your patients. So that's going to be one of the things I'd like you guys to focus on as a clinic director and pass that down to your other PTs and your staff members to keep that in mind. Another example was Brian Dougherty is a PT over in Flemington. He got a couple of referrals this week from Dr. McDonald, who's a part of University Orthopedics, which I think everybody here is familiar with. They have offices in Somerset, now in Marlborough, pretty much all over the place. But they are an impossible practice to get into. They have their own PT. They're all programmed to say, you know, the doctor's busy. We don't take lunches with any reps. You know, see you later. However, he got in touch with the PA, who 99% of the time is writing the script for the PT anyway. And they're more receptive to hearing what you have to say to them. So I told him to pitch to her, you know, this is Tom's contact. He is the marketing guy for ProCare. We'd love to set something up with you and Dr. McDonald to, you know, share more about with all the PTs what I'm doing in the clinic. And she was receptive of that. So I think using that angle to get in with whoever's willing to listen, I'm not trying to put more work on you guys. So like I said, if you want to say, get in touch with Tom, he'll set everything up. It'll be a breeze. It'll take 10, 15 minutes out of your day on Zoom, and we'll get it out of the way. That being said, don't want to get away from these lunches. The lunches are how ProCare built and became established with these relationships in Mid-Jersey, relationships that have been built over decades. So I do think the lunches will change as far as getting into some of these new practices and cold calling new docs. But yesterday we had one in Colts Neck where a doc is trying to market herself, and she actually came into the clinic and shared about what she was doing, which could have been done over Zoom. But I think making that genuine connection, seeing where the patient is going, meeting the physical therapist goes a long way. And that's what separates us from, your private equity PT practices. So absolutely want to stick with that. And Steve mentioned the podcast earlier. So all of this stuff will kind of be addressed in each episode of the podcast, and not just for you guys. So we have that all amongst the culture of ProCare. And I said this yesterday to the doc that we met. The culture of ProCare is why ProCare is so great and why I love working for this company. I don't have to BS them and lie and be a sales and marketing guy. I'm actually telling the truth. When you call the office and the front desk answers, that's not something that happens in every PT office. That goes a long, long way. And the PT cell phone is always available. You have a question, you have a concern, feel free to call or text. So that's something we need to, stay on top of, building those relationships face-to-face with the physician, getting out of the clinic, meeting PAs, office managers, the doc, So we definitely want to stick to our roots while admitting COVID is a reality and thinking that this Zoom call thing is always an option. So keep both things in mind is all I ask. And, pass that down to your staff. If they ever have, any questions or concerns, you guys have my cell phone number. If you need advice, feel free to call. And that's pretty much it. Anybody have any questions or anything? Yeah. So they have I think it's between 1 million and 1.5 million, but they don't have Tom. So, and she straight up said, I have no idea where it goes. And I'm like, oh God. But the funny thing is yesterday we were cracking jokes about it. But so this doc is, not to bore you guys with the story, is a pain management doc that joined a plastic surgery center in Shrewsbury. And this plastic surgery center does a lot of cool things that can send to PT. But that relationship was a little weird to us. We were thinking, why did you join this, surgery center practice? And, long story short, she was, had this position open and she changed her mind that she wanted to do pain management. But anyway, they basically said, you need to go out and market yourself. Your case schedule is empty. We'll give you some internal referrals, which she said to me, I thought it was going to be more substantial and my practice would build up, but that's not the case. Like I'm literally doing what you do, going door to door to PCPs, orthopedic practices and trying to solicit patients. And it's hard and I'm a physician and they won't talk to me. So I'm like, yeah, it feels pretty good that I get shot down all the time and you're getting shot down too. and that kind of, even yesterday, I wasn't coming into this, meeting wanting to share all of that, but like kind of put things into perspective that now they have this built-in COVID excuse. Before they would BS you and say, he's on the phone, he's in a meeting, which I knew wasn't true, but I knew going in that was going to happen. But now the built-in excuse is like huge for them. It's so hard to go in there and ask to talk to the doc. I know they're going to say no. Instead of being stubborn and, trying to do that 10 times before I give up, I'm just trying to spin it in a way to help us and be more efficient. And that's where that Zoom thing I think is going to come into effect. And, just trying that out and seeing if it sticks, we'll keep going with that. But if not, obviously we can readdress. And it's always, the ebbs and flows of trying to get patients in the door. Cool. Any other suggestions, questions?
I want to touch on the discussion that we had with Brian about our biggest strength for our former patients and what we're going to do about that this year?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So the question was, the discussion we had was using our previous patients to our advantage. This is one of the podcasts that we'll have every single person that wears ProCare on their shirt listen to. It's having that $1 million budget would be nice for me. I would absolutely love that, but I know that's not a reality. So using free ways to market is something that I've always addressed in any way I possibly can. So this isn't just for ProCare. This is for any business that you do, is using your patients to your advantage. So this was a Sean Kirk thing. I'm sure you guys have heard that name in conversation with Pete, Steve, Dean. This is a guy that basically shows you how to run a PT practice as a clinic director and, you know, get patients in the door. So what Steve was referencing in this conversation is using the patients that ProCare has had in the past to your advantage, giving them a task, and that task being to go back to that physician that referred them, you know, finding a way to rave about ProCare in a realistic way, not going in and say, oh, you know, Pete's the best. Pete's the best therapist I've ever had. Like, okay, great. We believe you. But going in and just saying, like, you know, Pete spoke highly of you as a physician. He loves working with you. He says you do great work. I feel taken care of there. They treat me like family. You know, something realistic. And I know for a fact, 98, 99% of these patients at ProCare will do that for you because they love you guys. And like I said, that's why I love working for ProCare. But you have to ask. You have to address it with the patient. They don't, you know, it just kind of goes over their head. They don't think that you need help. They come in to ProCare. You guys have, you know, 3-4 patients for each therapist. The tables are filled. They're like, oh, they're doing great. You know, they don't see it when there's, you know, one patient in the clinic and you guys are calling me like, Tom, where are my lunches at? I need more patients in the door. So this is a free way to market. And those patients, as long as you ask, I guarantee you, they will do whatever you need, whether it's leave a Facebook review, refer a neighbor, you know. So that's another thing, is not just going back to the physician to, you know, rave about ProCare with a good review, but a thing that he preaches is giving that patient a task when they leave that clinic. So if they are discharged, just, you know, say like, Mary, great job. We loved having you in the clinic, but I have a job for you. Okay, what's that job? That job is, do you know anybody else that's having the same issue, whether it's back pain, you know, knee pain? Yeah, come to think of it, you know, my neighbor Janet has the same thing. She complains about back pain all the time. Oh, send her in. We'd love to take care of her. You know, you're like family to us. We, you know, we would take care of her. No questions asked. So that's something that, like I said, if you guys approach the patient and give them that task, I guarantee you they will help you out. But it just doesn't, it's not natural to them to think, oh, this woman has back pain. Let's send her over to ProCare. So that's something that in the podcast, we will absolutely be addressing time and time again. It'll get to be nauseating at some point. But like I said, it's free marketing that you guys have earned. You know what I'm saying? It's not like this is fake. These patients love you guys. You get them better. You treat them like family. And that's why ProCare is successful. So like I said, earning that right to ask them to send referrals is huge. And that's going to be how we get these evals in the door with this COVID stuff going on.
That discharge plan in Hability, it's exactly what Tom's talking about. And I think it's reaching out to our old patients. So select the appropriate discharge plan, and that patient will get hit in 3 months, in 6 months, in a year. And it's like, you know, it's a nice little message. It's kind of funny. Like everyone has a story. Everyone who uses it has a story about a patient that thinks we actually texted them 6 months later. It's like, oh my God, I was thinking about you too. You know, it's like, and so the conversation came up, and I don't want to drag this out, but we had a conversation. Like I think Dean and Glenn wanted to boot Hability, happy birthdays on Hability. And there was a little bit of a pushback on that on my side. I'm okay with it. You want to do it, do it. I didn't want to do it in Flemington because I didn't want to turn Hability into an electronically driven message. I like the idea of it pretending that we're actually texting them. It's a little deceptive, but I like that, you know? So I never tell any office what to do. That was my input. And in Flemington, we kind of agreed. I talked to Brian. He's like, yeah, I kind of like the idea of like them actually thinking we're texting them. But if it's an automated happy birthday, it feels a little cheap. They're going to unsubscribe and we look like you know, we hired some dirty marketing firm, you know, that's just my opinion. Okay. So I want to talk about office systems and how every phase of our office and how we run our office needs to operate in ProCare. When Adrian and I Eric and when we were bringing billing back, we kind of went through some ups and downs and we started to learn from it. And then when we rebuilt our front office, we learned from that. And the three things that I took away from it was every office needs a process. You hear Adrian say that word all the time. Every office needs checks and balances, and every office system needs accountability. And so there would be times when we would be doing the billing stuff and someone would be like, oh, I'll do that. And it's like, oh, timeout. I know you'll do that, but what happens when you're away for a week? Like, you know, Hazard's a great example because they have so many people there so long and they're so good that they have people that just do stuff and there is no need for checks and balances. And that's dangerous. Not for Hazard because they're good, but for other offices, it's not good. And so I think we took this concept of build a process, have checks and balances, and have some accountability. We kind of took that to heart and we start kind of relating it to all the problems we had. And we go, ah, shit, every problem we have, we stick it into this little magic formula. These three things, there's something missing. And so that's what I wanted to talk to you about today. We call this billing utopia. That's the title of this. That's the title of this conversation. So I'll start off by saying when my kids were little, and I say little because some people say they're still little, but when my kids were like, I had a 5-year-old, a 7-year-old, and a 9-year-old, they would go to school in like high top sneakers, shorts, and a hooded sweatshirt. I'm sure a lot of you guys could relate to this. I know Pete's kids did too. And they'd come home from school and they take the hooded sweatshirt off and throw it in the laundry. They put another hooded sweatshirt on. They lay around the couch, do their homework. They get hot. They throw the hooded sweatshirt in the laundry. And then they put another hooded sweatshirt on. And I had three kids. They had three hooded sweatshirts. By the end of the day, there were like 19 hooded sweatshirts in the goddamn laundry. And my wife was like, this is ridiculous. I just did laundry yesterday. I don't know how this happens. And so, you know, I rounded everyone up. This went on for like a year and I rounded everyone up. And I'm like, guys, listen, when you come home from school, I understand you want to throw that stuff in the laundry. I said, but you know, when you put something on and you're just laying on the couch, you know, the couch isn't that dirty. Maybe you could take it off, hang it over your chair like dad does. And like, what? I'm dirty. You know, it's like, no, it's not. Maybe you want to save your mom a little bit of laundry. And she, you know, and so, by the way, I would do laundry too, but I'm bad at it. And I ruined the laundry. But anyway, that's a whole different story. So anyway, that went on for a while. And so it didn't change. I mean, it was still 19 hooded sweatshirts, laundry coming out of our ears. And my wife was just, I mean, honestly, just like out of her mind. And I can't blame her. I mean, I watched it. I'd be like, oh my God, you did just do the laundry. This is crazy. So finally, I rounded everyone up and I said, look, here's the deal. I don't care if you're 5 years old and 7 and 9. Here's a laundry basket. Here's a laundry basket. And here's a laundry basket. And you're going to do your old goddamn laundry. And like the eyes opened and it's like, everyone come upstairs. Let's go to field trip to the laundry room. Showed them how to throw the Tide Pod in. Don't eat this. Throw it in the laundry. And they did their laundry. And let me tell you, I've never seen the pile of laundry get smaller. It was unbelievable. And so, you know, we taught them how to do laundry, you know, call that the process. They built their own process. They took their shirt off, hung it over the chair, right? They started to create their own process that worked for them. You know, the checks and balances, the accountability, it was all tied in there. And it's like, they were now responsible. They took ownership. And, you know, every once in a while, my wife would be like, oh, you know, Charlie's had a lot of homework and his laundry's filling up. I think I'm going to do it for him. I'm like, don't do it. Don't do it. You know? And I know I'm like the evil dad that says that, but I know how it happens. And all of a sudden the kids are like, mom, could you do it? And then it starts to leak. And so ever since we implemented this, and if we stayed firm in the home, in our home on the laundry, it got done. So how does this relate to billing utopia? A big problem in our office has been patient statements. Okay. And when I say a big problem, it's on many levels. And I think it all came to a head last week when the people who have been growing these practices and treating patients have been saying, don't send people to collections. I'm here making friends and telling them to go back to their doctors. And we're here, we're your friendly neighborhood ProCare. And then you got the billing people that are ready to kill us because they're like, these sons of bitches don't pay their bills. You know, we've sent them, oh, Here's Mary Smith. I don't give a crap that she's your neighbor. We sent her 17 bills. It's cost us $20 in stamps and envelopes. And basically, everyone wants to kill each other when they're doing patient statements. So we've been hearing about this for a while. And it's like the Hatfields and the McCoys. We're fighting each other on what to do. So finally, it's on me. I said to Adrian, I said to Eric, NVIDIA, I said, you know what? Send them all the collections. I'm done. I can't listen to this anymore. You're right. Send them the collections. Michelle wants to kill me today. We got nasty phone calls. I mean, we got called racist. We got Facebook posts. We got one-star reviews, nasty phone calls. Wasn't worth it. And, yeah, I texted Dan, and we, you know, they had like a nasty Google review or whatever. And I was like, Dan, it's on me. You know, we made a mistake. They won. These people won. And it was like all this over a couple $100 copay. And his words were, was it worth it? And I was like, no, it's not worth it. So what I decided that we're going to do, and I made this decision to send out the things to collections. We're going to call the collection agency and see if we could call off the dogs, but that's kind of hard to do because once they're going, they want to get their money too, you know? So what we're going to do is we're going to take every patient statement that we have, and we're going to throw it into a barrel and we're going to burn it. And it hurts to do that because we're going to lose over $100,000 in past dues.
These are the ones over 128.
We'll get to the details later, Eric. I was trying to be dramatic with my throat and my problem. So that hurts a little bit. It definitely hurts a little bit. Fire, barrel. Tom, put lighter fluid on that. So we're going to burn it. And it's going to hurt, and it's going to hurt, but we're going to do it, and we're going to do it for one reason, because they're not going to pay it anyway. I look at that pile. I just see nasty people, Facebook reviews. I see angry patients. It's not worth it. And so, yeah, because water under the bridge, we move on. We make mistakes. We didn't collect the money, and we didn't have a system to collect the money, but now we do. Okay. And the system to collect the money is going to include a process, checks and balances, and accountability. And I think we've been talking about getting credit cards on file now for over a year, and we're getting them, but just not all of them. And I think the reason why we're not getting them is because we don't have any checks and balances or accountability. So we are never going to send out a paper statement ever again in ProCare, ever again. It's not going to happen. We're starting from zero. We're going to get credit cards on file at the door. That's our policy now. You don't have to pay with a credit card, but you have to have one on file. You could come in every day and pay, but you have to have one on file. That's it. If someone comes in and they want to ding, I go to Walgreens, I pick up a prescription. They go, Mr. Parenti, would you like to use that card on file? I'm like, yes, thank you. I love it. And so 99 out of 100 people are going to give us a credit card on file. And that's just the way it is. Because if you don't get it, you're going to have to call them and get that money. You're going to have to get it that night. Hey, you're home. Hey, could you give me that credit card over the phone now? Or make sure you bring it next time. We're going to balance out every week, probably every day, to make sure we get everything paid. And that's what we're going to do. And we'll never have a patient statement again. Now, you're going to say to me, what about the 1% of the people? Because this gets tense, right? It's like, whoa, we don't want to get into fights. And I do believe that a lot of doctors are going to this. And so it's not that crazy. I think it's how you do it, you know, is going to be something that we're going to have to figure out, but we have to do this because how annoying it was when they would say, go through these statements and let us know who you want to bill. And you guys know what we're talking about, right, Diana? Like the stack of people. And you go, well, guess what? That stack, Diana, that stack's gone now. I burned all those. So you're starting from zero as of March 15th. And so as of March 15th, you're at zero. If you start to build a book of people, you're going to have to just get the money. Like over the phone, like you're going to have to, we're not mailing them. Billing is not doing patient statements anymore. We burned them all. As of now, they don't exist. And so let's just get paid at the door. Let's get credit cards on file. That's our policy. Our policy is you have to have one on file. I hate the word policy, by the way, but we need a credit card on file. It's in a secure server. You do not have to use it, but we require you to have one on file. We had a guy the other day come in Flemington. He's like, you know, I had credit card fraud. I promise you, I will pay every time we come in. And we were like, well, you know, we understand, but he's like, I'm really, okay, I'll tell you what, don't tell anybody, but I'm going to get in trouble if you don't come and pay. So just make sure you come with the money. No, I understand. The guy has paid he paid in advance because Annalisa won the guy over and he's like, I don't want you to get in trouble. Let me pay you for 6 visits up front. I don't mind paying. I'm willing to pay. The one guy who doesn't put the credit card on file and doesn't pay at the window, that's the problem. And so here we go. It's like, we got to turn that guy away. I hate to say it. Maybe you give him one shot, but you got to be dramatic about it. Like, oh my God, if they find out this guy, Steve in Flemington's a maniac. Like if he found out I let you go and I'm going to lose my job. Like, and if it happens a second time, the guy can't come. He's the guy that's going to trash us on Facebook and Google. He's the guy that's not going to pay. I don't think there's going to be many of them. I really believe you guys could make this work. It's kill him with kindness, make up a story, tell him how you have some lunatic guy that runs this place in Flemington, whatever. Do whatever you got to do. Good cop, bad cop, the thing. But get the credit card on file. Be kind about it. I really think this is the answer to so many problems. And so I think the accountability part of it is, I just think if you don't get it, you got to get it. So I think you're going to have to do the laundry eventually. And the last thing you want is to have a pile of clothes there. And so I think this is the answer. And I'm not doing this because I want to give you guys more work. As of now, it's zero. There is no work. Just get the damn money. You see what I mean? It's not a lot of work. We burned all the work. That is up in smoke already. And so we just moving forward as of March 15th, that's what we're going to do. Now, with that said, there's a little bit to this because the billing, we had a meeting and Adrian, Bill, Vidya, and Eric, we talked about it. There's going to be a transition period. So they will be still sending out patient statements prior to March 15th, by the way. We are not running bills past that because we're collecting it. So we will get, I mean, let's face it. There are people that we will mail a bill to that came in January that will pay us. I'm not going to burn that one. So we burned the stuff that was 120 days out because we've sent them 2 or 3 and they're not paying. So we're going to get what's reasonable. We're going to phase out the patient statements. You guys don't have to worry about that. The only thing that I said was my concern now, if we have credit cards on file and we're dinging people's cards for deductibles and co-insurances, which is kind of like a projected amount, that we're going to have a lot of credits. And so if we're taking money from people, we should be on top of that. So the billing department's job on patient statements will now be not folding envelopes and doing billing. We'll be keeping in track of credits and we're going to pay people back through the credit card. So we're not, Ida's not writing 700 checks a week. It's just not happening. She can't. It's just too much work. It's postage. It's just too much. And yeah, I think we're going to figure that out. We're going to figure that out. So, you know, it's like you go to Costco and they back it. It's like when you go to Costco and buy a barbecue for 3 years and then return it and they give you your money back and they put it on the card. Oh, that was Mike did that. That's right. So how does this sound? I like a little feedback on this because we put a lot into this and I got to tell you, like when we, one of the frustrating thing, guys, and I'll be honest, like the billing people get frustrated with us. Is because the directors are too nice. Eric, if you don't mind, Eric, just give me a minute. The directors are too nice and the front office people kind of feed into the patient relationship and get bamboozled a little bit, you know? And so I feel like we need to take a hard line in a really nice way and pull this off. I don't think what we're asking is crazy. It's just put a credit card on file, credit card on file, credit card on file. No problem, no problem, no problem. I don't want to. Okay, pay when you come in then. And so at that point, I think we're going to be okay. I really do. Does anyone have any, and by the way, I think the pile of bills came because we knew there was a backup plan. Like we knew we were doing papers. Okay, we'll get you a paper statement in 3. There is no more backup plan. We will never mail another patient statement again.
When Steve says we're burning 120 plus, we're burning it out of clinicians. So you'll see zero. We in billing are keeping a spreadsheet of all of those.
Just keep ruining my thunder. They just keep ruining my thunder. What Adrian's saying is we're not really burning it in a barrel. I lied. we got it out of clinician to zero it out, because if we want you guys to be accountable for what you're doing, and we're not beating it over your head, but to be fair to you, start from zero. Go. Let's see how you do. You know, I mean, you're going to want to keep it zero. I'm betting on Diana Moore. She's going to win this race. She will win this race. Dean is already the saliva dripping out of his mouth. Game on. Let's go. But no, but in all seriousness, Adrian's point is, and Eric's point is, we came up with a plan. We're going to extract 120 and above. We're going to move it onto a spreadsheet. And then we'll worry about those people. We're going to put together SEAL Team 6 maybe to go after those people. And we're going to get that money maybe. And maybe, you know. So that's what we're going to do. What do you think? Anyone have a cut, Glenn?
Yeah, I love it. People who are really hesitant to put credit cards on file, the elderly people.
Yep.
Who typically have Medicare and secondary anyway.
Right.
They do pretty well with it.
Yeah.
Are we going to force the point with them too?
Listen, everyone puts a credit card on file. And so it's that.
It's worth potentially losing that person when we know we're going to get paid really well anyway.
So you're not going to lose them, but let me give you an example. In that case, tell me how much they owe if they have Medicare in a backup.
Well, if they're secondary, open.
Right. So if they don't owe us any money, it's that clear that if it would be zero balanced. Well, then I'm okay with that. They don't owe us anything, you know. I mean, if someone came in with no copay and no deductible, I'm not going to take a credit card on file. I don't owe us anything, but in that case, it might be $3.95, but we need to know it's $3.95 and get it at the window then. You see what I mean? That's all. We need to do our homework on what you owe. We really need to know. At least we need to have an idea of what they owe. It could be $5 a visit. They might be like, oh, that's it. You know? Go ahead. Yeah. Get the card on file. It's in a secure place. It's as good as their wallet. Glenn, I hear you. This is going to cause some sleepless nights. It's going to be difficult, but we're not going to turn this ugly. It's not, that's not what the skill now becomes, getting the card on file. We're going to do it. I really think we're going to do it. And they'll understand. I really think they'll understand. Got it. Well, I mean, I know there's a million scenarios, but it's like, guys, we're not hitting your credit card. We're just putting it in a secure place. Yeah, I mean, I thought we had the sheet thing figured out. Of course, we're going to have a sheet with something signed. I thought we had one. Didn't we change that? We didn't change it yet? Okay, we're going to change that. It's going to say it's required. Maybe we'll use a better word. On the sheet, it's giving us permission to bill them for balance. It's on the sheet.
So what we tell them is when they do put a credit card on file, they have a deductible. Just so you understand, if you're discharged and there's still claims outstanding, we will bill your credit card. And I have some patients who say, absolutely fine, no problem. And I have some who say, could you at least do me a favor and give me a call first so I know what's going on in the card. Then I make a notation of it and I call them.
It's fine.
Okay. Nobody's going to read that.
Look, guys, here's the thing. If you come up with a better solution, and I'm not being sarcastic, let me know. I had the worst week of my life last week. Second worst week. But it was not good. And so I understand when it comes to money and people, it's hard. And so I think when I go to the store and buy a gallon of milk, I pay for a gallon of milk. We all know this. It's not like I'm telling you anything, but like we just need to execute that. And I think there's less problems when you get it at the window at that moment. The most important thing in this whole process is when we verify their benefits, that we give them an accurate number. I think that makes all the problems go away. At the end of the day, that's the root of the problem. Melissa, what do you got to say? Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. I would like to use it, or I'd like to just have it in reserve in case I have a balance.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Just to add one more thing. Sorry. One more thing to that form. Get an email. I have so many patients who would email the receipt.
I mean, years ago, we said everyone had to get emails and things fall off. But that's, guys, we need emails. Yeah, absolutely. That's a great idea. Email, do you want to use it as your primary form, or would you like us to keep it on file in case you have a balance? Or would you like us to inform you? We could even put that in the form of an email. You know what I mean? Like I'm good with it. I'm good. But guys, it's transparency, right? It's accuracy as best we can. I mean, I understand you call and get wrong information. Well, we got wrong information. I just had that last week with someone who called all ticked off. Sorry, we gave you the thing and said, double check this. Like, we can't call twice to verify benefits. This is a brutal game we're playing. It's painful. There's no true, simple answer. Pete's got a neck ache right now. I could tell. This is not the, it'll never happen again.
It'll never happen.
Never happen again.
All friends with dentists, the only complaints they get is when money is owed. Yep. And all of a sudden their service was no good. You know, I messed my teeth up.
Yep.
So I have a couple of complaints in my opinion. It's always
money. And guys, let me tell you something. If they don't like to pay and they just stop coming, there's nothing we could do about that. No. No, of course. That's why I said when I look at that pile of bills that we send out, all I see is angry people. That's all I see. This is hard, Glenn. I appreciate what you're saying there, but the most important thing when you guys all go back is going to be, let's get them a real number. Annalisa came to me the other day. She's like, I'd rather charge them $5 more and credit them than to hit their card. I'm like, I'm in. I'll gladly refund them, and we'll figure out how to do that.
We've also been doing like the mandatory credit card file for the past couple weeks. We've had some people that are refusing and say, I'm going to leave them. And I say, no, please don't leave. We'll waive having to have it on file, but you need to type when you come in. Right. And he said, yeah, totally get that. And it's been fine ever since. So there's been like two tough phone calls or two tough conversations, but we solved it.
The eggplant sandwich looks phenomenal. All right. So, hey, guys, one other thing before we eat. Pete, I want you to hear this one, too, because this is going to be another one. I think letter of protections are a thing of the past. Doesn't fit this model. Yeah, because we still have a few people that are doing it, and it's done. We no longer do letter protections. What a letter of protection is someone trips and falls and is in a lawsuit, and the lawyer calls us and says, look, my patient needs therapy. Run up a bill. We're going to sue them for X number of dollars, and when we win the lawsuit, in 3 years, we're going to pay you. And these guys, I got to shut the mic off, because the lawyer then calls you 3 years later, or he doesn't call you. They give away all the money. They try not to let you know. They hope you forget about it. And then when they do call you, they're like, can we negotiate the price? We're like, we waited 3 years. You son of a bitch. I'll never send you a patient again. I'm like, I've never gotten a patient from a lawyer in my life. Nor do I want one. So I'm done with the letter of protections. We don't do them anymore. If anyone comes in, we're getting paid in full up front. Letter of protection doesn't fit that model. They're out. We're not ambulance chasers. You know, we're physical therapists. So the billing team will be behind the scenes, but they won't be printing and folding envelopes and licking stamps anymore. All right. So I like it. All right. How about we, Glenn, go ahead.
Are we rolling this out with evals as they come in? Or are we hitting all existing patients with this sheet too?
I think we want a hard start on March 15th. We have to do it that way. Yeah. Now look, if a couple existing give you a little pushback, you do the old, I'm okay. Listen, I understand it's going to take a little massaging. The goal isn't to get every credit card on file. The goal is to collect every penny. So if you said to them, look, Mary, we have a new rule, credit card on file. You pay every time, but can I still throw it on file? She'd be like, Glenn, you're like, all right, just please pay on file. This is crazy guy in Flemington. He'll come, you know, he'll get me, I'll get fired. Use that. You know, I'm fine with that. Crazy bastard. I mean, if we're going to waive their fee, I don't see why you would need it. Yeah. All right. I'm going to, let's do this. Dan and I are going to rob the vault in the back, and then we're going to eat lunch, and then we'll come back. All right. I just want to say one last thing. I literally just thought of this, like, sitting there. I was talking to Adrian. So Adrian's done a couple tours in Iraq. I mean, Flemington. And And I sit there with her, and her phone just keeps vibrating, you know? And I'm like, Age, could you put the damn thing on silent? She's like, I don't know how to use the phone. Oh, that's a whole different story. So I got to the point, I was like, read me that text. What is so important? Read me. And she'll read me the text. I'll be like, that's the dumbest question I've ever. Like, they're actually sending you that question. And no offense to anyone here. I'm not naming names. I don't even know who sent it. But I'm looking at it, and she's like, yeah, I mean, I get these kind of things all day long. And I was like, yeah, no shit. We've been sitting here for an hour and you got like 10 of them. And so I was telling her, this was like last time. I was telling her, I was like, you know, let me change. I'm going to tell a story. I like to tell stories. So, oh, Jesus. So, Adrian's staying at my parents' place. And it's a nice place. You know, my mom gives my son, like, I don't know, grandma pays grandson too much money to go in and water the plants. So Adrian's like, before we go into the office on Monday, could you come over and let's work in the kitchen so we don't get distracted and, you know, we could get some stuff done, prepare for this meeting. I was like, yeah, good idea. So I go over there and I'm sitting there and Adrian's talking to me and all I could see out of the corner of my eye is my mom's cactus and it's dying. I'm sitting here. I'm sorry. It's Charlie. Annalisa loves Charlie. And so do I. But I'm looking at it, and I go, Age, I'm sorry, hold on a second. She's like, what are you doing? I'm like, no, right? How much cactuses, they don't die. Eh? So I take a picture of the cactus and I send it. And she's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I just sent my son a picture of a dying cactus. And she's like, why? I'm like, because he's supposed to water the damn thing. She's like, it's bone dry. I'm like, yeah, I know. She's like, go water it. I'm like, I'm not watering the damn cactus. I'm like, let the cactus die. Let him explain to his grandma that she paid him all this money and he didn't do it. I know, I'm a prick. My parents were good to me. I don't know how I ended up this way, but I was nice to him. I said, Charlie, grandma's, you know, Nana's cactus is dying. That was it. And he was like, I'll be over there today. And he went over and fed it. So anyway, so later that day, we were working in the conference room in Flemington. Yeah, we have a conference room in Flemington. It's nice. Anyway, so Adrian's getting all these texts, and I'm like, what's going on? And she's answering them. I'm like, let me see this. I was like, Adrian, you know, sometimes you just got to, like, don't water the cactus, you know? You just stop. She's so nice, you know? And so I got on her a little bit, and we all love Adrian, you know? And I said to her, I was like, listen, I'm not, like, Mr. Perfect. I'm not all-knowing. I just know one thing. If I watered that cactus that day, my son would probably get lulled into a false sense of security that, oh, I could go 3 weeks without water. And you see what I mean? So I think what I said to her was like, Age, this one's on you. You know, you're getting all these texts and you're responding to these and you want to be nice and you're helpful and you've trained a lot of these people. I said, but when you start getting the same stupid question or the same, I don't want to sound that way, but, you know, the same question, sometimes it's like, just say, hey, you know, hey, do we take emblem? It's like, could you look on the laminated sheet that I gave you 6 months ago? You know, instead of just solving their problems, you're just getting more of their problems. And so, and I kind of got on her a little bit. And I'm sorry that I had to do that. And again, I'm not Mr. Perfect, but I was like, Age, you're getting overwhelmed. We got a lot to do. You're answering these questions that you've addressed already. You just need to be tough. You just be tougher on them, you know, and hold them accountable for what they do. So I think I just want everyone to be aware of that because, you know, in many ways, I said to Age, I'm like, you know, we joke around about measuring stats. I'm like, your stat is how many texts you get. You know, if you get no texts a day, you're doing a great job. If you're getting 200 texts a day, you're doing a terrible job, you know? And she was like, wow, that hurt. I was like, I know, but isn't it true? And she's like, you're right. I got to stop babysitting. I got to stop being so helpful to the point where it's counterproductive. They need to water their own cactus. And so that's all I want to say. So when you go, before you pick up the phone and send her a text, just think about it. And honestly, it's really not the people in this room, because the people in this room really know what they're doing. They're really well-trained. People that have come and gone and some of the people that are part-time or just started, it's okay to ask for help. It's okay to be trained. But make sure before anyone sends her a text, just stop and think, do I really need to send that text or can I figure it out? That's all I would ask, because I'm speaking on her behalf, because I kind of feel a little bad that I kind of got on her a little bit. But we all agreed that that probably has to happen. So I just want everyone to think about that. With that said, Adrienne's role here is become very defined. I think everyone knows what it is, and that is she kind of brings everything together, you know, between the front offices and the billing. And when we had Eric and his mom and his father doing the billing in Cape May, we never had that bridge to bring everything together. So she's that bridge. I told her, I'm like, Age, you know, your job is not to do anything. You know, it's really not to do anything. It's just to make it all work. And so we talked about it. I was like, you know, we're freeing up a lot of this patient statements. I'm like, so we got to offload, you know, like Eric could do the payment credits or whatever. I'm watching her do this stuff, you know, and I'm like, you got to offload a few of these little billing things that you do, because you really don't need to be doing anything. You just need to make sure it all gets done. And so that's all I wanted to say. I just wanted to kind of really define Adrienne's role. It's like, it's an engineer. She's an engineer. She went to school to be an engineer and she knows how to get a machine working, right? So that's her job. It's not really to do anything. It's just to make sure it gets done and not to be so damn helpful. All right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Resources, yeah, right,
yeah,
doing the same job.
No, 100%.
You can't find it.
Totally. You know, the other day we called Hazlitt the other day because Tracy in our office, she asked me a question. I was like, you know, I don't want to bother Adrienne with this one. Let's call Hazlitt. Let's see how they do it. And Carrie answered the phone. She didn't know the answer, but that's okay. She didn't know the answer. And it was a legitimate question. And she was honest. She's like, I'm not sure. Willie usually does that. She's not in. It was great. And we figured it out. It was fine. But you're right. We got so many. My first thought was like, let's call a couple of veterans that know what they're doing. And so I appreciate that. Totally. No, I wasn't getting on Carrie. It's just she didn't get us the answer because she said, Willie does that. I was like, all right, cool. When she come in and we'll figure it out later. But nonetheless, we thought to call you guys and we figured you would know. Yeah. So the last thing is, you know, we got a few new faces here that weren't here last year. We have Lee from East Brunswick. Lee. Olivia from In Summit. Vidya in Billing. And Annalisa in Flemington. All right. These are newer people, and they've been great. But like he's here, you know, don't be afraid to introduce yourself. I probably should have done that already, but because we have some amazing people here that know their stuff. So I have nothing else to say. Anyone, feel free to get up and grab the mic. Karaoke, I don't know what. We are going to record this. We're going to probably drop it on the website for like 30 days and let everyone know that you could log on to the website now, go to something and click on something and put in like a password, and then you could view it. You could tell I don't do anything either. But so that's what we're gonna do. We're gonna throw it on a website because I think all the therapists should hear this. I don't care if AIDS, all the front office people, everyone needs to be in on this. You know, we're all in this thing together. So, all right, meeting adjourned.
This is how we do.